Would you open your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Again, just a quick introduction for those of you visiting today, aren't familiar with our flow of things. We are following the entire church is following a reading plan. You'll see it published in the bulletin. It tells you on the right-hand panel at the top what the scriptures are that we are going to be reading as a church this next week. So what I do is I seek the Lord during the week as I'm reading through that series of scriptures, one different scripture for each of the 7 days. And I ask God what in that weekly reading is He impressing upon me to preach about. So that's the content comes from the Word of God. Every week we're preaching the Word of God. My sensitivity to that word is, I guess, what you'd call the shepherd's heart. It doesn't mean that, well, the truth is we can't cover it all. Right? So when we're going through the Bible in 1 year, there's no way to get it all. And what's really cool about that is I will hear from you during the week. Some of you will send me emails that you had read something this week and it just lit you up. And I love that. So if you send me an email about something that lit you up and I don't embellish that on Sunday, don't think that I was not respectful. I want God's Word to speak to every heart. Amen? Amen? Oh, and let me just say, if you are not receiving my emails, I put together a church distribution list. I hit one key and it's supposed to send it out to everybody. Sometimes I get what are called bounce backs or rejections of some emails. So if you're not getting them and you would like them, just put your name and your email address on a piece of paper and hand it to me afterwards. That way I know I can get you in the email list, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, hear the word of the Lord. Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. And we almost don't need to read on before we try to answer this question, what does that mean? What does it mean to prophesy? And in the 2,000 years since Jesus, there have been a lot of different expressions of what the prophetic gift is and how it works. And there are certain cultures that form, and there are certain styles that groups take as to what they recognize or call prophecy. I can tell you this morning we had a prophetic word already. And it was when Anita was speaking to us what the Lord had said to her. This is the way prophecy works. God speaks to a heart. Amen. The person hears and then is able to tell others what God said. So here's a good definition of the word prophecy. If you have a Greek dictionary at home or on the internet, you can look it up to confirm what I'm saying. The word prophecy means divine utterance. Right? A word from the Lord. Now, it may be about the future. Right now, you know, we've been through the first blood moon. We've got the second blood moon coming up in October. 2 more blood moons next year for a tetrad of 4 blood moons. And the prophetic world is just ablaze. Yeah. Of everything that God is speaking. And it's quoting scripture. And this is good. It is good for us to have our attention gotten. And it is good that once God gets your attention to dig into the word and find out what he's saying. Because he's putting it there for our benefit. But let's not miss an equally powerful prophetic move when God says, trust me. Trust me. I've shared this with you before. I can't help but keep sharing it. I'm on the Camino. I'm feeling grumpy. I don't like the way my day is going. And I look and I see a flower, big deal. I've been walking for days, I'd seen lots of flowers. And the Lord said to me, I made that. Now, is that the prophetic word?
Yeah.
You say, well, lightning didn't flash. Well, it did in me.
Amen.
Because instantly I knew that my moaning and grumbling and not liking the way things are going was a rebellion. And what God was after, that I would look at His stuff.
Amen.
Look around. See those mountains you're cursing? I made them. See that snow you got to wade through? I put it there. Folks, this has changed my life.
Yeah.
The simple word of God that says, I made that.
Yeah.
It's what we ought to have on our hearts when we see each other. God made that.
Yeah.
Be pretty hard to want to rip and cut and destroy if you really valued what God made. Verse 2, for if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since the people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. Hear me now, church. I love the mysterious. I love the mysterious. I love it when God demonstrates something and it just seems incredibly beyond comprehension. But, he says in verse 3, one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. Is there anyone in the room that doesn't need strength, encouragement, or comfort? Right? If we didn't need at least those three things, we'd have no real reason to get together. We come together. Lars says today, boy, this is my family. He obviously feels strengthened and encouraged and comforted by you. And I would hope you feel the same. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. But one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. So, if we were to just try and look in those short verses for some kind of a formula of God, what is He saying? Number one, He's saying, I want you to prophesy. Yes? He's telling the church, I want you to prophesy. And then He's telling you how to do it. What are the three things you do when you prophesy? Strengthen,
encourage,
or comfort. Have you noticed some things that are not in there? Judgment is not in there, is it? Criticism isn't in there. Telling you how you ought to live is not prophetic. And I think you may have been exposed to some heretical prophetic experience in the past, where people use what they call the gift to really give you their opinion. I come to church, folks. Not you know, it's like that old joke where the wife says, you got to go to church, you're the pastor. Yeah. I go to church because I like to be strengthened, encouraged, and comforted by God. I come because I know every Sunday He's going to meet me in a corporate way.
Yes.
I know He can meet you anywhere, at any place. Walk on a gravel path across Spain, He can tell you what He does. But the ecclesia, the getting together of the body of Christ, is like nothing else. We need this. He says in verse 5, I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues, unless someone interprets what you're saying, so that the whole church will be edified. We now get a key piece of what speaking in tongues might include. It's not a clever way to then give an English translation of some criticism, is it? It's to edify. I love the ministry of Barnabas. You know what Barnabas means in translation? Son of encouragement. I like those folks when I meet them who have a Barnabas ministry. Don't you? Who, wherever you go, they're there to encourage you. Because there's plenty of voices to do otherwise. Would you page back in your New Testament to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. Mark, chapter 9. So this week, as I'm reading and I'm seeking the Lord, I'm saying, what kinds of things, God, do we need to say to the people today? I guess strength, encouragement, and comfort's pretty good. I guess after we have laid our burdens at the foot of the cross, we should feel lighter. Amen? We should feel relieved that we don't have to pack these stones around. I don't know who it was that needed the forklift, but praise God, praise God you got rid of it. Listen to Mark 9:23. This is after a boy's father had beseeched him to do a healing. I'll start with verse 20. So they brought the boy, and when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. This is not a very wonderful sociological encounter. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. Isn't that amazing? You go to the physician, what's one of the things the physician asks you? How long you been this way? How long you been sick? How long you had this fever? How long has your leg been broke? How long has your brain been dead? And Jesus does the same thing. How long has this been happening to you? And the father replied, well, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. And the father says, have mercy on us and help us if you can. And then what we would say? Lord, have mercy and help us if you can. Yes, see, here it is. I've got my rock. I've got somebody's rock. And I'm going to do what this funny church says. I'm going to participate in a stone ceremony. I'm going to put this rock up here, and I'm going to say, okay, God, take care of that if you can. Because in every single one of us is some little measure of doubt, some little lack of faith, some place where you might have said, I've been to him before and didn't get what I was looking for. I have a family member who is still angry with God because his mother was taken and his wife left him. Bam, bam, two things right in a row. Two things a young man raised in the church knew how to call on God, called on God, and bam, bam, two things happened to him. This young man is mad at God because he didn't answer his prayer the way he thought it ought to be answered. And so I understand this business of putting your stone at the thing and kind of having in the back of your mind, well, okay, I want to be rid of this. Whatever the this was, if you can do it. You with me? Let's read the next verse. Verse 23. The words in red. Jesus Christ says, what do you mean, if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes. Is that in your Bible? So that's not Pastor Skip's opinion. Wow, it sure got quiet. Another place in the Bible it says we should bind and loose. One of the things I'd like to bind this morning is the voice of the enemy in your ear. And in Jesus' name, I would throw out that evil spirit that says to you, if you can. or that other spirit that says, just as evil. Oh yeah, you've tried that before and it didn't work. Or that other voice that says, well, God can work in Steve's life, but he can't work in your life. Any voice that comes to your head saying that you are less than, unworthy, not any good, you've tried and lost every time you've tried, that's a lie from hell. And Jesus himself is saying to the father of the little boy, what do you mean, if I can? Anything is possible. Notice what he said to the father, if you believe. He didn't say, I can do anything, because, quite frankly, he could. Correct? Jesus could, in fact, do anything. But he said to the father, anything's possible if you believe. And so we wrestle with that. Let's admit it, church. We wrestle with this thing called faith. That's why yesterday's email was about waiting. Because what happened on Good Friday, which is a strange way to look at crucifixion. It's a peculiar way to look at death. But what we're saying is, his death was good for me. Right? That's why Friday was good, because of what he did for me. But on Saturday, I am alone. On Saturday, he hasn't risen from the dead. On Saturday, the miracles haven't been worked, at least that I can see. On Saturday, what I laid down is still a pile of rocks. Do you know what happened on Saturday? I think I told you. It was a very busy day for Jesus. He descended into hell and led captive a host of captives. Talk about celebration and hallelujahs. And I sometimes wonder what that might have looked like in the spirit realm. And then Sunday, he was raised from the dead. They rolled away the stone. Of course, he wasn't there. He hadn't been there for a long time, several days. Wow. And then a bunch of other tombs popped open. And there's 400 or 500 people roaming around Banks, Oregon. Look at chapter 10, verse 27. And Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is impossible with God. Oh, wonderful. Everything is possible with God. How better? So the reason I didn't develop the whole story behind it in an exegetical way to talk about what it was that's possible was because they weren't buying it. They thought everything was impossible. And here's a few details of things they claimed impossible. But he said, no. Everything is possible with God. And again, that voice, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Can't you just see a debate between the Christian and the atheist over this one? The atheist is armed with all kinds of things that look impossible. And they're all impossible to me, many of them. But they're not impossible to God. Folks, that's why we're here. That's why we name the name of Jesus Christ, is it not? That we don't want to just have a big, strong man as our God. We're not looking for a big version of one of us. We're not looking for somebody who's super smart. We are looking for God Almighty, ruler of everything. The one I want to worship. The one I want to trust and give my all to is the one who can do the impossible.
Yeah.
Now, there may be a lot of other gods out there. There may be a lot of good thought systems out there. There's a lot of people talk about love, and a lot of people talk about taking care of your neighbor, and a lot of people talk about good things and good works. And I'm for it. But I don't worship those gods. I worship the one God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what I can ask or even think. And I'm here to tell you, I can think up some pretty big stuff. One of the big things I can think up is a school that teaches kids about Jesus. Oh, Banks Christian Academy. Or Emmaus. Or Faith Bible. Or all of these schools that just shouldn't even be there in this culture. But they're there because of a divine utterance and the generosity of some people. Wow. So folks, this Easter Sunday, He is risen, yes. He is good, yes. And He is able to deliver you, to set you free. And whatever it is you think is impossible, He can take care of it. I surrender any knowledge of how He's going to do it. But I put my trust in the one that can. That then is what happened on Saturday, that test of faith. Because on Sunday, can you imagine Peter, the guy that said no three times on just before the arrest and the crucifixion? Can you imagine Peter on Sunday and Monday? Yeah, I believed Him all along. That's my Lord. I wanted to play for you again the video, That's My King, by Lockridge. I thought it would be good to play That's My King. But you all know it, yes? That's My King. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We acknowledge You are our King. You are the Lord we serve. You are our God. We worship no other but You, O God. Help us this week to be strong in faith, to grow in our faith. Help us be able to say, I have questions. Lord, I got so many questions. And then to hear that still small voice that says, look at My Word. Check out the book. Let Me speak to you, God will say. And dear ones, the prophetic word, the divine utterance will come to you, I promise, when you open the book. So we celebrate life today, resurrected life in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's give Him a thank offering. We have some coffee, some juice, we have some carrot cake. We got all kinds of good things to spoil your ham dinner. But stay in fellowship, greet the visitors, let everyone know that you love them. Amen. You're dismissed.